Bob. Hey, Bob. Bob.
Holy shit. Here I've been talking for 2 minutes and I didn't know I was on mute.
Bob.
Jesus Christ.
I'll start over again. Hello, Bob. Play Vestal for president.
Where's that?
It's in your inbox.
Oh, yeah. Vestal for president. Wow.
You like that? We've been working hard for you, Bob. We're working hard for you.
Yeah, thank you. Who's the two anonymous?
That's us. We're very anonymous. We're anonymous.
No, there's two other. Who is it? Who are you?
Bert.
Anonymous.
Get to the Kennedy Center before you did.
You just came in yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah.
How did you make it before I did?
I made it in 40 years. Took you over 60.
But I'm here for one reason. I want to be president. I want to be president.
Mark, you've already tried that once.
Well, that was 4 years ago, Bill. And I only missed it by 40 million votes. I should have demanded a recount. But now we're on TV once a month. Everybody knows me. And I got my own website, www.marklowry.com.
Mark, quit your plugging.
Quit my plugging. Look who's talking, Mr. Infomercial Tapes Everything That Breathes.
Come on.
Let me tell you something. When the Lord comes back, Bill will get it on tape. The final homecoming. Tribulation special. No credit cards accepted.
Mark, stuff. Have you thought about who's going to be your running mate?
Oh, yeah, I've been thinking about that. I'm thinking about asking Vestal.
Yes.
I need someone who walks softly and carries a big hanky. I thought about asking Gloria, but you know that problem she has with submission.
I felt a cool breeze blew in on that one. And you think Vestal will be better at submitting than Gloria?
Oh, I don't know anything about that. I'm just repeating what I heard you say.
Well, that was cute. Mark Lowry, a Christian comedian. Okay, so let's see. I muted everybody somehow. Okay, there's Ion. And let's bring in Brainerd. I think that's Alyssa. Brainerd is Alyssa, I think. Brainerd? Alyssa?
Hey, it's Nate.
Okay, Nate, go ahead. You want to talk to Ion?
Hey, Ion. Good to speak with you.
Hey, good morning. Nice to be spoke at.
What is happening when our ears ring from nowhere? You know, sometimes you get that super, super high-pitched, almost TV pitch happening, and then it goes away. What's happening there?
It's the Nevermind module.
Just stuff doesn't matter? Or what do you mean by that? What is the Nevermind module? Yeah, okay.
To ring the bells, the ringing of the bells. Bells toll, they ring. That's what that's about. Your body's just picking up on what it knows. You can't know. There's nothing you could do. What it knows. It doesn't know. Sometimes you don't know what it knows. It knows. You don't know. See,
yeah.
You say, God knows. God knows. Well, that's why. Right?
Yeah. It's nice to settle into those knowings that you don't need to know. It's relaxing.
Well, but see, if you know, you don't need to know because you know, and you don't have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
If you don't want to know, then you probably already know too much.
Well, now, see, if you're not careful, you're going to get in Bob Town. So be very careful with that. You'll wake up with a sore bum hole.
Do you think that there's anything to...
We don't think.
Limiting your a sense on purpose, is that a good way to heighten your other senses? Or is... That's too many words around that. I've been thinking it too much. So tell me more about No Mind and how you can bring that. It seems so simple, you know, just think less. But can you give some practical ways to do it?
We are so glad that you brought this up. We have it. It's the most perfect thing. We have to go all the way back to George Jones. Do you know George Jones?
George Jones.
Oh, that blip was for you. We have the perfect song that will explain this implicitly. It's in Bob Zimba. So you can kick his chair one more time and get him up and say, Bob.
Yeah. It's George Jones and Bessa Goodman, Mansion Over the Hilltop.
That's it.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder walk on streets that are purest gold.
Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound, and I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city, and I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the
It explains it all.
Tell me about how No Mind is explained by that.
Oh, that's easy. You settle. You just want a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land, but you got a mansion, a robe, a crown, a staff, and all the power in the world. You've got that. No Mind has it. See, George was trying to say, I'll just get a little bit of it, but I want it all.
Yeah, I do want those things, but yeah, the No Mind has more than that, including that. Like, it's all happened and it's all there already.
Basically, it's that transition period, it's the interim, it's the resonant interval, the resonant node.
Can you give me some different things to overlay onto the now to shift the perspective so that transition period?
Okay. Well, we started off talking about pussy. Now we're going to talk about weenies, just like the presidential campaign. Okay, so here you go. You start with a arousal. You want to be aroused, but you're talking about fucking. No, you're talking about nothing. No, you're talking about coming, orgasm, or coitus. So they're all connected, but one does. You don't think about one to get the other. Because if you just with the nut is the goal, just go ahead and nut, and you're through, and you're done. No, you don't want to get it done. You want to enjoy the ride as you go. So the interval is that part between erection, coitus, and then completion. So you're trying to put them all together and say, I know I fuck, but that's not what you're talking about. You want to nut, not just engage. But it's a whole process. It's a whole package, you see.
Yeah.
And that's what this
song shows. To be savored along the way.
And this is what, well, typically, if you do it right, it's even if you do, if you knock the little man out of the boat, you can go anytime you want to. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that part then becomes a connection, and that connection then becomes what you call intimacy. If you get intimacy within yourself and balance that, then you know, and you're very comfortable, and then it becomes a joyous expression of your outreach or completion. And that connection is a very delicious part of what you call adventure.
Yeah, it's that self-connection. Too. That makes a lot of sense.
If that doesn't work, you can always do the love yourself version of it, too.
Are there any other peripheral overlays that can loosen things up that you have for me?
Nah! Bob, we didn't say loosen up. That's so funny.
That's a stretch.
Well, it could be. Depends on the party.
Going for the double down.
Ooh, double penetration can be very, very hurtful. Be very careful.
Uh-oh. Trying to think of something like, Bob, you always talk about, don't ask about yourself.
Oh, Bob would say bareback.
Yeah, go bareback.
Bareback. Understand.
So, yeah, don't ask about yourself. Ask something that does include yourself, but you don't think it obvious.
Okay.
What a nebulous, ridiculous thing to say.
Well, it makes a lot of sense and leads me. What is the role, like, making music nowadays is something I enjoy doing, so I do it.
See, you're still doing
your
field.
No, we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. Well, I'm coming from my angle. I guess I don't need to do anything but ask the question. I should be simple. Is there any point in making music other than just for the joy of it for myself? Is there any benefit other than the feel-good of it?
That's all anything's good for.
Well, that's
you wouldn't do it again.
Ryan. Well done.
Well, you wouldn't do it again otherwise.
Yeah, Ian, do you have a hedonistic philosophy? Is that hedonism, the Greek philosophy? No, what was it called? It began with E. Enjoying yourself.
E pluribus unum. E pluribus unum.
No. It's Episcopalianism or something. But let's just call it.
Episcopalian. Right? We made Episcopalian.
I did it. But would you say you have a hedonistic philosophy, or would you present it in a more balanced way?
We're more Lutheran.
Libertine gospel.
Lutheran, yes.
So, you're not a hedonist. You're not advocating hedonism, herdism.
Well, we don't even know what that is. So, yeah, is it fun? Do you like it? Do you enjoy it, Bob? I guess that's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah. And I recommend Nate that. Nate, feeling good is
okay.
A good reason for doing different things.
I agree. And that is pretty much the reason why I do and keep doing things. But I was wondering if there was any external use for making music nowadays, because there's so much out there that it's...
No, darling,
you hardly...
Hold on. You don't paint the picture because we are out of pictures. There's enough paintings to last the world. You don't write opera because you want one more opera. There's too many opus. They've run out of opus numbers now. It's like making up telephone numbers. They're running out. You do that to do it because you can't live without it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. not do it. Painters paint because they paint. They're not doing it because there's a need for paint.
Which leads us back to no mind.
In the goober. No, it leads you back to Goober Snatcher. Read the Goober Snatcher.
Where is it? Yeah. Okay. What'd you put up there? Love yourself lyrics, huh?
Yeah.
Do you want me to read these?
Yes.
Yeah.
For all the times that you rain on my parade and all the clubs
for all the times. There's a preposition.
For all the times that you rain on my parade and all the clubs you get in using my name. You think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You
clubs
think I'm crying on
in.
My own.
Clubs you get in using my name. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. The emphasis on the wrong syllable. Clubs you get in using my name. You think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own. Well, I ain't, and I didn't want to write a song. I didn't want anyone thinking I still care. I don't. But you still hit my phone up, and baby, I'd be moving on. And I think you should be something I don't want to hold back. Maybe you should know that. My mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never like to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on, but now I know. I'm better sleeping on my own, because if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. And when you told me that you hated my friends, the only problem was with you and not them. And every time you told me my opinion was wrong and tried to make me forget where I came from, and I didn't want to write a song because I didn't want anyone thinking I still care. Okay, so it's repeating.
Now, do you see that?
Yeah,
do you see that? That was good. And now it kind of connects because it's like, oh, you mean the superfluous of the connection isn't gauged on the connection? Because if you listen to the first words that we said, under penalty of death, you had to go get jiggy and busy. And then we said, well, no, if you feel that way, just love yourself. So you can have a limitation, this connection.
Yeah, the limitations are just, I guess, directing the flow in whatever ways we want, huh?
What happens if there's no flow?
Then you're just sort of freezing it.
Oh, freeze frame, uh-huh.
What it seems like. Would you say that that's what's happening? Well, let me ask you that. What happens when there's no flow?
We've never seen where there was no flow.
Okay, so let's talk about time for a second. This makes me think of the flow of time. You know, the false premise of time. We all know a lot of the things you say, and a lot of us agree on a lot of those points. But with what parts of our brains we use to remember, are we using those exact same places to think about the future?
Oh, the Jay Giles version of your brain.
Is that the mapped out hemispheres and stuff, or?
No, he's a musician of the 70s.
He's a 70s musician.
The Jay Giles version of my brain, or?
Yeah.
Humans' brains.
Yeah, the snapshot image pose about a sound.
Jay Giles Band. American rock band formed in 67 in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but they didn't make it till the middle 70s. They had a hit in the middle 70s. I forget what it was.
Freeze Frame, huh? In 81.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. That's not the hit they got.
Well, that's something
that
Ion
is.
Said.
No, he's talking about, Bob's talking about Centerfold, but you're right. We're
oh,
talking
is
about
that
freeze
Angel
frame.
In a Centerfold?
Yes, of course. But we were talking about freeze frame. You're very good.
So well, Bart posted the freeze frame.
Bart's so fun.
Thank you, Bart.
Okay, come on, let's go. Nate, I'll go somewhere else. You haven't got a question?
I guess I can look up those lyrics and... You can move on now, Bob. Ion, that was good. I hope I can talk to you again
today.
Okay,
then go ahead and do the last of it. It's Duran Duran, Hungry Like the Wolf. That'd be good. Duran Duran.
Thanks.
So we'll bring in Bert and then Gene. Is that you, Bert?
It's Bert.
Go ahead, Bert. Bert.
The B one. Hey, the B one. Ooh, I'm so excited. Are you excited? Tell us all about it. We've been waiting on you so patiently. We're just giddy. Tell us all about it.
I have a follow-up question from last week, but I found some questions I had from 2015 I want to ask you.
Okay, it seems like yesterday to us.
Okay, well, yesterday then. Has the molar mass of sodium chloride changed?
Yes, it has. Thank you for noticing.
Say that again, Bert. I didn't catch any word.
Has the molar mass of sodium chloride changed?
So what is that?
So I am with
sodium something?
Sodium chloride. Sodium chloride. Has sodium salt, NaCl.
Has it done what?
Salt. Has it changed?
No.
The molar mass. Has the molar mass changed?
And would Ion say?
Yes.
Yes, it has. That's why you're having to add salt to your water. Everybody else is getting way too much sodium, and now you're actually having to seek sodium in your body. We don't want to change your question, though. You have a good chain.
If that's the case, is that the cause of the statement you say salt has an intention? Is the new salt, the salt that has intention?
It does. It does. It's because salt that's lost its flavor, you just throw it in the road to fill up the mucho ecos.
Okay, you also on top of that, it's the same as you say saltiness drives.
It does. To salt leather is to grind salt into the leather. It is a tempering phase.
From the saltiness has an intention to drive, is there a particular part of the body that drives that intention?
Well, the answer is obviously yes.
Is it the hypothalamus?
It's connected to the hypothalamus.
So would it be the entire body, or would it be the thoracic?
The lipids. Okay, enough about you. Enough about you. Let's get to the measurements.
All right, you didn't tell me to measure for this week. You told me to measure last week.
And you didn't give us the number. You increased an inch, but we wanted to know from what it was before. No measure right now. Go get the tape.
You told me to measure before my shoulders and my waist.
And the difference was how many inches?
16 inches.
Your chest is 16 inches, and chest and arms is 16 inches wider or bigger than your waist, correct?
Correct.
Excellent. And you had an inch increased in your pecs or your chest?
Correct.
And you're still not doing anything, just sort of slung up?
Yeah, this week I did one set of pull-ups, two sets of lawnmowers, and a set of push-ups. And everything just stayed swollen.
And that's it.
It still is.
That's silly. Isn't that crazy? It is. You'd go kill yourself. You realize what you'd have to do to get to where you are? And this is where we talked about before, you remember, because you vehemently fought this tooth and nail, which is what you really want to do. You remember that long, drawn-out pushed yourself away? You don't understand, Ion. I don't want to be all He-Man fucked up. Joe Ferrigno bullshit. I'm not buying any more clothes. I'm tired of all this stuff. I don't want to look like that. I want to have a swimmer's build. I want to be lean. I want to be buff. We go, yeah. We got this. We know better than that. So there you go. So now you don't have that anymore. So are you ready to take a butcher knife and cut it all off of you, or what you want us to do for you now?
I'm actually working on my butt, which is what you told me last week, my glutes.
Yeah,
that was my main focus this week.
Now be careful, because you got a little bump in your sciatica. Don't get that stirred up. Just go slow and easy. We don't want you to go heavy or go anything crazy. Just go a little bit, because you'll get that extended. And your ascension is doing very well, but don't fuck it up. You're doing good, because you don't fail. If you say go to failure, you don't fail. So you could do it all day long. You wouldn't fail. You just eat math. So we don't want you to tangle up your sciatica because we worked really hard getting that shit straightened out. Don't you go messing it up.
No, I'm not. I'm not. This restructure actually feels like a second puberty. Would that be a good statement? The restructure?
It's exactly what's taking place. But don't say it like that, because then people will do it. Because all that's happening is not really restarting you over. It's allowing your testosterone levels to be where they're supposed to be all along. But it's not like T, like low T, where you take this and then you're this sexual raving maniac. It's not like that.
Right.
It's simpler and softer than that. It's the natural response that you can have orgasm, recover, and go again. Well, you couldn't do that before.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you're saying, well, is that not the case?
That is the case, but it's just, you know.
And so you think it's like you're just coming into your grits and gravy. No, you're supposed to have been doing this all along. That's the point. You've all fallen so far away from the tree, you don't recognize the bark anymore. Once you really engage and get to that point, then the counterparts, whatever that is, will swoon, because you do become that He-Man person that becomes wow. And then it's all of a sudden they got to get right to be able to keep up, and that's a good thing, because typically that's what they want more than life itself, you see. And instead, what happens is you got it going on. And now we're not talking about, yes, we are talking about you. We've been talking about you even before and after and long since you wanted to talk about you. But you become that position. Okay, let's talk about your toes now. Let's get on something that's a little more archetypal.
Yeah, that's different. Ion, my feet are growing.
Your toes are growing.
My toes are growing. So, And it started, actually, I felt it a month ago, but this week I felt them grow. My shoes were tight.
That's right. And that happens because the span, see, your mass is changing, so your feet would widen a bit and your toes are getting long. Those tarsals have to spread out just a little bit. And so you may have to get a little larger size.
Yeah, I will.
What they call fuzzy slippers.
Yes, I will. And that was really strange this week. It progressed on the week, and Friday it was extreme.
Your left foot is a little tighter than your right foot, which is even stranger.
Correct. Because normally it's the right foot.
Imagine that. I know, it's the opposite. Ta-da!
Hey, Bert, ask about salt and light.
Okay.
He did already.
Ion. No, I have a ion. Is salt and light a representation of ionic covalent bond? When someone says salt and light, is that the representation of an ionic covalent bond?
Don't say ionic covalent bond. Just say covalent bond. Don't say
ionic. Just say covalent bond.
Yeah, because if ionic, it means the charge, and you don't know the charge because it could change. Is salt and light a covalent bond?
I know salt is an ionic compound, but you're saying salt and light is a covalent bond. So is there a way or is there a process in which it becomes an ionic covalent bond? Because I remember you saying I believe it was in Rewrite 39, that the polarity takes place when there's an ionic covalent bond. Or has that changed?
It's the same.
So there's a reason why when you say salt and light, there's just a covalent bond. It's not involved in ionic.
That's correct.
Is there something, a separate process involved for it to become ionic, or is that I'm reaching too far when I want to push this ionic?
You don't know the difference.
You're saying I don't know the difference, or one would not know the difference?
You don't know the difference.
Well, off the top of my head, I know ionic bonding is it's a transfer of electrons from a metal to a nonmetal. Is that correct?
Sometimes.
Or I'm off. Sometimes. Okay.
Sometimes. That's what we're saying the difference is.
Okay, sometimes. Okay, Ion, is there something changing with the metabolism? Because last week you told me to get on the toilet and eat more. But before you told me that we're not metabolizing food. You told us that we're not metabolizing food. So is there a process changing in which you're telling us to eat more? Or telling me to eat more?
We're telling you to eat more. We're not telling everybody to eat more.
Is there a change in the digestive system? The reason why you're telling me to eat more?
Drinking tea that's been sweetened with salt or eating vegetables that have been salted with sugar tastes awful. Salt and sugar look the same, but they obviously taste very different. They are also very different chemically. Salt is made up of sodium and chloride and is ionically bonded. Sugar, on the other hand, is composed of carbon, oxygen, and hydrogen and has covalent bonds. Na to Na plus to E, the chlorine atom must add the sodium's electron to become a chloride ion, which it adds to the sodium's lost electron to become the Ci and is called an anion. Cl plus E to the Cl minus the sodium ion is then attracted to the chloride ion and its bond is formed from the attraction between a positive and a negative ion. This type of bond is called an ionic bond. Ionic bonds usually form between metals and nonmetals. Table sugar, or sucrose, differs from the salt that bonds between its atoms. The atoms in sugar do not form ions. Instead, they share their electrons. This same way with carbon. Carbon's just like that. The type of bond that forms from the sharing of electrons between the atoms of the table sugar is a covalent bond. Table sugar has much more complex chemical structure than salt. It looks like CH2O2 to an O to an OHHOHOHOO2OHOCH2O2OH. The bond forms between one of the carbon atoms and one of the hydrogen atoms, and one of the valence electrons of the carbon atom combines with one of the valence electrons of the hydrogen atom. This forms an electron pair, C plus the H to the CH2. It's normally written C-H. Ionically bonded compounds have a very differently from covalently bonded compounds. When an ionically bonded compound is dissolved in water, it will conduct electricity. What? A covalently bonded compound is dissolved in water will not conduct electricity. Another difference is that ionically bonded compounds generally melt and boil at a much higher temperature than covalently bonded compounds.
So the reason for you telling me to eat more is to actually engage more sugar. Is that correct?
No, we're just trying to get your body to function. You're being so persnickety and so precise now looking at your meat sack body. We're trying to get some double whoppers in you so you can be normal.
Okay.
What's wrong with double whoppers anyway?
Okay, I ate Big Macs last week, okay? I did things, but what it is that...
That's good. You like that.
But the strange part of this, Ion, is that the food is not the same as it used to be.
Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, it's a strange feeling. I mean, the food that I eat is not really, I'm not engaging it as I used to, as far as like, ooh, this is going to taste good. I'm eating it to consume something, but I'm not hungry.
That's been Bob's argument since Carolyn started putting the entire counter full of food. She piles the entire counter full of food. Literally, he just eats one meal a day. It's a very long and arduous all-day process, and it's a voluminous of about probably 10 to 15,000 calories, depending on if it's an ice cream day or not. And then the back side of that same conversation, he only eats one time a day. He says, oh, I don't need food. I don't eat food at all. He eats so quickly, he doesn't even put water in the restructure. He just eats like snuff. Just eats
like snuff. I eat it like pussy. It's pussy to be.
And then when he spills a little, he takes a straw and snorts it up his nose. Like $100 bills, he just snorts it up his nose. Terrible. That's just Bob. So, but we understand, and Bob just says food doesn't taste like anything. He says, I don't know what it tastes like. That's why he despises when we talk about food. We'll spend 3 days talking about how to make mint jelly taste good with a lamb shank. And he doesn't know what lamb is, and he doesn't want to talk about it. He's like, Carolyn, stop. He's talking about food. What is food? He doesn't even know what food is. He just eats things. He knows, don't put the cayenne in the popcorn, but he won't say anything. He just knows it's different. He's like, well, that tastes bad. And he throws it in the floor, and then he's done. And then he has to wash his hands, and then it's over. He starts all over. And then Carolyn gets mad, and she goes to bed with a sick headache. And at the end of that, it's all over with till the next time. He has to lay it all out again. But see, Bob has the same thing. He doesn't even know what the food is that he does or doesn't like. So if he doesn't know what it is, he certainly does not want to talk about it by all means. Was that a nice pivot, Bob?
Yeah, that was all true, Bert. That's the way I live in my most. Very accurate what he's saying.
Yeah, I ate, but I was not hungry, and I ate, and I was amazed at how much I could eat not being hungry.
That's the other side of that.
Because the point is that there's no food. There's no food, so you wouldn't know. And so all you'll do is you'll go to the potty more, and that's good. Go potty.
Okay, is there something behind that? Is there some process changing behind
shit.
That within the body?
Shit is behind that.
I know shit is behind that, but you told me that we're not metabolizing food, so is there a purpose for eating when we're not metabolizing food? Also, by the way, I gained 5 pounds in a week this past week.
And there's 16 inches difference between your chest and your hips. Nice.
Actually, I have to measure that, Ian, because I believe it's larger now in a week.
Told you, and you've done nothing. See, there you go. It's pretty fun. The metabolism, you're going to need more food. Just sorry. You're just going to use more food. You're burning, your metabolism is kicking up. Your metabolism's kicking up. That's why you're not hungry. When you're really, really, really working, you're not hungry. If you're sweating, well, you don't even sweat anymore. But you're really, really working out. That's not when you're hungry. Your body's pumping. You're not like, let's go have a nice bowl of soup. You're not thinking about that. You got to jet down before you even come to that. So that's the rub.
You said metabolizing, but you told me before that I won't be metabolizing. So do you have two different meanings of metabolism?
We have the same meaning, but your body doesn't know the difference yet. That's why you're having to consume food that has no taste. And you're amazed at how much you can consume. That's the point. But you're shifting that. You'll change. You'll be snorting it like Bob in a minute. It'll be okay. Don't worry about it. Just go slowly. And don't get yourself out of balance. And don't blow out your sciatica. Don't go heavy. Work on your butt, get your ass right, and you'll be fine. So you don't throw your hitch, and you come along. Because if you blow your single tree out, it's going to be trouble. We can fix it, but why go through all that? Don't go through all that. Just go normal and build up your butt, and you'll be all right.
I mean, you already took care of that, Ian, when I walked around a week and had a cramp in my right glute.
But that's because of your foolishness that you caused that. We just want to give you the taste of it. You get a little bit of it, so good for you.
That was my foolishness, but it's my left glute that has a sciatica, so that was with the weird part. So thank you on that. And
yes, it's no problem. We just want to remind you, get yourself together, so you'll be fine.
Okay. That's all I have, Bob. Thanks.
You're so very welcome. It's fun. Paint some music, Bob.
Is Bob there?
Yeah, I was eating. I was eating.
We mentioned food, so that did that.
I remembered food. Well, there's something I can do. Okay. So let's let Gene talk. Okay, we'll bring Gene in. So thank you, Bert. Thank you for
thanks,
your input.
Bob. Thanks, guys.
Maybe we'll come back. Maybe you'll go home. I don't know.
It's all good.
So,
it's all good.
Okay, Gene. Start talking
okay.
Ion.
First, Ion, I want to follow up with Bert's questions on sodium chloride. I don't remember sodium chloride specifically being special, and that's what I wanted to ask Bert. But what it made me start wondering about is the difference between sodium chloride and sea salt, because we're all drinking sea salt that includes a whole lot more than sodium chloride. And Bert was referring to the intention of sodium chloride. Is the effects of sodium chloride decreasing in our meat
affects,
body?
The affects are, yes.
The affects, the way
the
sodium
effect,
chloride affects our...
Affects, not effects.
Our battery.
It's not really a battery. See, you get caught in Dobstown, and that's a bad place to wake up, honey. It's a good place to go, but it's a bad place to wake up, too.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right, can you distinguish the difference?
Yes. He takes a mean, cliched, archetypal experience and makes it into some demonstrative thing that makes a market or a medium. And it's not that way. It's not that way at all. It's never been that way. But he uses that excuse to make the excuse be the predicator of the prognostication at hand. And it's just completely wrong. But Bob does it, and he's always done it. I don't know how you're going to stop it. It's never, it's over. Couldn't help her anymore, so sorry for your luck.
Well, that's all right, and all that was due when I said the word battery. You were referring
that's
to...
That's exactly correct. You are very correct.
All right, so let's get back to sodium chloride. People who don't use sea salt and use sodium chloride, you know, Morton salt, where everything's taken out, will sodium chloride affect them differently than those that are using sea salt like we are?
It's not the salt. It's not the kind of salt you're using. It's what you're putting the salt in.
Water, because of the ionic...
the covalent bond. Covalent bond.
Now you
which
said
is the difference between the sugar, which is the difference between sugar and salts. You two, you all had biases against sugar. We never had biases against sugar.
Well, when you said the bonds won't hold, which ones were you referring to? The ionic covalent or the covalent?
Yes, all of them. None of them.
All bonds. So
they're all changing.
So it doesn't matter whether they conduct electricity or not, the bonds.
Now, it did. Then, see, that's what you knew then, but soon and no more. So it's all good.
So the way salt, the bonding of sodium chloride, and the bonding of sugar will be the same?
No, it will be diametrically the same. Diametrically the same. Which means as much as you move one, the other one will also move or be moved. What you say, be moved.
Mm.
That same degree.
Shifting. It shifts accordingly.
Diametrically, yes. Good, that's good.
Ionic bonds generally melt and boil at a much higher temperature than covalent. Is that what you said?
Do.
Generally? And ionically
generally.
Bonded... All right, and ionically bonded compounds, when they're dissolved in water, they conduct electricity. And that will be happening less and less because water's changing and that bond doesn't hold anymore in that way.
Correct. And that's how you'll hook all the carbons, the extra carbons. That's
yes.
the way you'll hook them together.
Yes.
You'll have to have it to hook them together.
the C-H.
Excellent.
And those are single bonds, one carbon atom,
well,
one hydrogen.
Well, you say, well, the answer to that is yes, until they're not. You're right, until they're not. So
until
you have to
they're
watch
not,
that.
Then they bond with other compounds.
Then they become, then the compounds do the combining, not the elements. Remember Lelou's conundrum?
Okay, is the bond between the compounds then the same?
No.
And that's not ionic covalent or covalent either?
Either, neither, neither, nor. But that's the whole point of us saying that it's all going to change. That's what we meant when we said, hey, it's all going to change. Hey, it's all going to change. Oh, did we mention? Oh, hey, it's all going to change.
I want to talk about leading up to the inauguration or after the inauguration of President.
There might be some augering go on there. It's not
augers.
Out of bounds.
Maybe in the country. There's plenty of augers out there in the farm, in the fields. That kind of an auger?
Yes, they bore a hole.
Or was it another metaphor?
Dr. Dean hates those metaphors.
I know.
He really doesn't like them.
I know, and you just...
He doesn't
you just
like
had,
them.
Bob played a recording, and you just had a metaphor. You just gave a metaphor.
Oh, I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. She hates them, though. We're sorry. We
I just want
like
to clean up.
Please her.
I know. I love Carolyn. I want to clean up an answer you gave me a few weeks ago when I was talking about China. You gave me the name Eleanor Ramsfield. Ramsfield.
Born. Bone china or any special kind of china?
I was talking about
doing,
the...
Get into the inauguration. What are you going to move? You haven't even started. You want to talk about the inauguration and you got nothing on it. Stay with it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going through my notes. All right. The 11 o'clock hour was incredible. And Bob was talking about money. And I'm wondering if we're going to see any changes leading up to the inauguration that others might not notice, that follows that money is also obsoleting itself, or that we're actually seeing a change after 300 years to how money will be.
Just because Janet Yellen is Jewish does not mean that she's trying to throw the election.
Well, is Janet Yellen grouped in with the Clinton supporters?
There aren't any of those.
There was discussion last night about Julian Assange having an interview and saying that everybody, the banks and the elite and everybody, is supporting Clinton and they won't let Trump get elected. Is Janet Yellen in with that group?
Yes. She's in the commercial, the two-minute Trump commercial.
And she's trying to throw the election.
She's going to hold interest rates down until President Trump gets in office.
So she knows President Trump is going to get in office.
Scared to death. But she works for Bob, so you got to watch what you're talking about here.
Is Roxy going to notice anything leading up to the election in regard to this?
Yeah, Germany's gone. We did that last night.
So that affects what? Janet Yellen doesn't have any effects on the way we see money in America. Let me try a different way. Like Bob said, the only thing that people get, that Americans get angry about is money. Let's just reduce it down to Americans. It's really the only thing that gets their attention if their money's getting taken away. But everything else has been taken away. And there's something really wrong with that. So are we going to see any changes, or is it going to, you know, even if Trump gets elected, what changes are we going to see after inauguration that isn't any different? Is it going to be 50 years of the same thing where we just notice and everybody else holds on to the idea of money? Or will there be changes that we see quickly?
You'll see changes quickly.
Can you give us just any hints about what those changes
are. We say we already have.
Can you remind me?
Check your notes.
Keto pretty much lists every payday date and hour that you and I engage, that I engaged with you, Ion.
Yes. Okay. Except for the one time he was drunk.
What date and hour was that?
We don't time. No. And he rarely drinks. We rarely drink. Just this time he was drunk. And that's okay. He had fun. It's that little slobbery part on his notebook if he can't remember. Because after all, he was drunk, so he might not remember.
He still writes this out?
Why are you talking about keto?
What?
I'm looking for... I never kept a list of all the times I've talked to Ion, Bob. And he and Ion just told me to refer to my notes.
What about keto? Why are you talking about keto?
I want to look at Akito's notes to see if he listed... I asked Ion if Akito listed all the times that I... if my name is in Akito's notes for when I talked to Ion. Mm.
And we said yes, except for the one time when he was drunk.
Now, Ion, you often quickly jump to, when we ask questions about money, that the drops will be money. There won't be any currency. It'll be just drops.
Yes, there is currency. There'll be drops.
The currency will be the drops.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a number of stages and steps to that. That's not going to happen right after the inauguration.
You don't know what's going to happen right after the inauguration.
I know.
Missy, you have no idea what we have in store.
That's why I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. So far, so good. Just don't argue for your limitations and you'll be just fine.
That's getting a little easier all the time.
Yes, indeed. We know Bob feels your pain.
When I looked up Eleanor Ramsfeld, the only thing that came up was Eleanor of Aquitaine. Was that the right Eleanor Ramsfeld?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, Bob. I'm done.
Kick the chair. You have to kick the chair when you leave so he knows.
Shoot, I almost spilled the coffee when I kicked the chair, Ion.
Don't do that.
Hey, why do you keep saying, coffee don't fax, it runs?
Because coffee don't fax worth a damn.
It isn't, but do you bring that up? Does that have meaning when you just throw that out there in any number of conversations?
Do.
Describe the purpose of saying that.
Do you have a Lucky Box?
Yes.
Do you have YouTube?
Yeah, but okay. Ion, it's Squidbillies.
Say coffee.
Yeah.
Don't.
He tried to fax the coffee maker.
That's what you do.
So if you type it in, do you get a YouTube?
Yes.
I've actually looked at it, Carolyn. I'm not doing it right now because I've read the transcript. And the Squidbilly guy tries to fax the coffee maker. And the other guy tells him you can't do that.
No, it's faxed coffee. It's faxed coffee.
Yeah, but in the Squidbillies episode, he's talking about the coffee maker.
That would be no.
I'm wrong. I am incorrect.
You're suffering from delayed intelligence. It's an Era 43 replacement cartridge. It's going to hurt.
Era 43. Okay. You dumbass, you can't fax coffee. Coffee don't fax worth a damn. Every time the rain hits, it'll run. Damn you, a dumb some bitch. Give me a hint. What is that? I'm lost, except for you did say, or you did answer in my rapid fire that you're developing an amino acid for coffee. Is that
good? That's good. That's good. That's good. That's closer.
Okay, but it doesn't make sense when you say it sometimes.
Well, why? Well, how is that possible? Be literal. Just be literal, and you'll be fine.
Okay. Okay. I'll go back and check it out again. Thank you.
Okay,
you there,
thank you,
Bob?
Jean. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for your input.
Thank you,
okay,
Bob.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bob, did you get that carbon reference, hooking together carbon?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And
what, coffee or fat? That's good. All about...
No. She's got
carbon,
more than
right?
that. It's No. This was way before that.
I know. I heard the carbon stuff. Okay, Kim.
Hi.
You?
Good morning. Yes, it's me.
You have some questions for Ion?
Yeah, I do. I went down a segue, something Ion had said a few times regarding reparation rights to the Mississippi River. And I wanted to ask Ion a couple questions.
Well, actually, it's more riparian rights.
Riparian,
yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Uh-huh. There might be reparations, but it's riparian.
Well, I didn't know that the Mississippi River, when we did the peace treaty of 1783, it gave Great Britain the right to the waterways of the Mississippi River as it did the United States. So it's freely shared, is that right? I just wanted to touch base with this because when Bob was in, and Roxy and Carolyn were in France, I was researching this Tennessee Water Authority because it branched off from the peace treaty of 1783. And I thought it tied into this election. I thought all three of these tied in together. You talked about the Tennessee Valley Authority before, and it was created in 1933. It gave Great Britain free navigation of the Mississippi River, and the Tennessee Valley Authority is jointly under the control of the federal government and Great Britain, which I found really interesting. I never knew that. I never knew that we never really did break away from Great Britain in more than one sense, huh?
Cotton is king, darling.
Well, there's a part, because I got into this, I got into the correspondence between the different representatives in France, Holland, and Great Britain during the negotiations for the peace treaty.
The occupation, during the occupation.
Is that what we call the Revolutionary War, is the occupation?
Yes.
But there was one correspondent, I wanted to ask you who they were talking about. I think this was Jay James talking, and I don't know who he was writing the letter to. I think it was, Edmund Randolph is what it was in the collection of James Madison's writings. But this has direct tie-in to France. It says, our ally has added another important link to the chain of benefits by which this country is bound to France. He has remitted to us all the interest which he has paid for us or was due to him on the loans that were taken to us, together with all the charges attending the Holland loans, and has moreover postponed the demand of the principal to be paid for 1 year after the war, and has agreed to receive it in 12 successive annual payments. I was wondering, who was the one that took out the loan and was paying all of this for us? Was that Saint Germain?
Well, Bob has all the details. It goes back to Leopold II, but yeah, indirectly.
So that whole, it's still tied in together. So the Louisiana Purchase comes 20 years later, which St. Germain is involved with. And then we have this loan that was prior to that, that the payments of it didn't start until about 10 years before the Louisiana Purchase. So this one was also a loan held by Leopold and St. Germain?
Yes.
wow, they really did. This whole country was totally created by the,
we've been trying to tell you this all along. Everybody's running around with their cotton-picking, ditch-digging runner pups, and they've never had anything to do with anything. And they run around talking about what we are going to do. We're going, well, you're not going to do nothing. Sit down. Get in the fields. Get busy. Lock down Bob Rule.
Yeah.
That's whether you know it or not, or care or not. It doesn't really matter. Bob doesn't even, so it's a stair. Here's where it gets really fun. Talk about a glib, cliched archetype. Bob doesn't even know. That's what's hysterical about it. You know, we can help Bob. We can trust Bob. We'll not tell him. That's how we'll solve this one. We won't tell him. That'll be great.
Well, it says in the, you know, the act, the Tennessee Valley Authority that was done in 33, that it was done, the reason was that it was done for the bankruptcy of the United States. Is that why it was set up?
Basically, yes.
And it said that the Secretary of the Army has no right-of-way to that entity itself. It says that the authority granted to the Secretary of the Army shall not extend to or include the lands held or acquired by the Tennessee Valley Authority. So in other words, the military has no rights over anything to do with that entity. Is that correct?
Right. That's right. And it goes up to Project Paperclip, which is in Huntsville, Alabama.
So it's all tied together. So that's why all that could go on.
It's the same committee. The same bloody committee or courts been floating around for 10,000 years, and I'm one of the prime members of that committee. They dropped into Egypt. They went to Samaria. They went to China. They went to Korea. They went to the Ottoman Empire. They just float around enslaving people as a cover. Now, note this. In 1933 is when the Chinese did something, bought a whole bunch of stuff at Fort Knox, the gold thing. So much happened in 33. So you're talking about the European part of it, but Germain represents China. Isn't that right, Ion? Wasn't he the liaison to China?
He was.
So this is where the China thing comes in 1933, too.
So it seems like every single entity in the last 10,000 years congregated on this continent, United, well, for lack of a better word, they're all here. You know, they're all pulling the strings in different directions. Is that right?
Because they come from other worlds.
Well, if you're hooking it to Bob, as long as you're attaching it to Bob, then yeah.
I'm not only the most powerful person on the planet today. I've been the most powerful person for 10,000 years.
Yeah.
On the longest run. Well, in eternity, it's not that long.
Except for the Queen Mom. She still got you by Fortnite, Bob.
She's an upstart. Came out of Scotland. Boy, I didn't see that coming. This little girl comes out of Scotland.
Yeah, and he thought the land girls were for something else, so that's the rest of the story.
Yeah. She wouldn't give in one inch. I never got to sample her goods.
She built a wall, and you couldn't penetrate, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't penetrate. I was like Miley Cyrus up there dancing, allowing the people to touch my vagina, and she wouldn't go for it. Have you seen that footage of Miley dancing and
spreading
her vagina?
I have, yeah.
Can you imagine Catherine Hepburn, Judy Garland doing that?
You used to make fun of them do that very thing with Audrey Hepburn.
I used to make fun of her doing it, or I did it?
Yeah, she did it. You was making fun of it, being all holy and everything. You're so funny. You damn hypocrite, you.
What role do I play in the new TV series, The Young Pope? What am I in that?
The fluffer.
What did you do? I'm the fluffer?
The
okay,
fluffer.
I'll have to look at that. The fluffer is. But, Kim, Project Paperclip is the Nazis, right? Wernher von Braun and others and Galen. And they come over after World War II bringing the best development. See, once you start doing this interworld, parallel world empire building, you're pretty impervious. You can hang around as long as you want and maintain your empire and even drop it off and still work.
Until I am done.
See, that's why there's really no insulin. That's why you have no insulin. They'll just get up there and tell you right quick.
They'll pay you right quick?
Tell you right quick.
Insulin. What's that got to do with insulin?
Insolent. When they're just being all cheeky. They don't give a damn who you are. We run this country. We're going to tell you how to get in the field. You don't have a vote. You don't have a say. Who the fuck you think you are? Get out.
So they appoint the Electoral College.
Well, I don't even have anything to do with it.
So voting has nothing to do with the level that Jermaine and those are on.
They don't care. Yeah, this is your fight, not theirs. You're trying to bring the people up to the zeitgeist that you have, that Christian Murdy tried to tell you about a long time ago, Bob.
Yeah, me and Dave Worster, we're spinoffs of the Christian Murdy meme. Bob Carr a little bit.
But poor Bob Carr.
Hey, the two Bobs that are dead, did they die in Paris, you know, this earlier this year?
Most of it, yes. Not earlier this year, but yeah.
Well, how did I end up in Bob Carr, well, one of me end up in Bob Carr's grave? What was that about?
Nothing to do. Well, they mixed you up.
To mix myself up?
Yeah, just stir it up a little bit. Because dead, you can't be in the soup.
So I made myself dead so I wouldn't be in the soup.
Basically.
You get that, Kim? So, do you have any other questions, Kim?
Yeah, just one of the other things that the Tennessee Valley Authority does is it says patents and access to the patent and trademark office and the right to copy the patent. This entire statute is hidden inside of the TVA. So I was wondering, because of the any country, it appears that Great Britain, China, everyone else has access to the patent office and the patents themselves. It kind of reminds me, a couple weeks ago, Blacklist had a show on regarding someone that worked in the patent office and how all the patents were being hidden. And his job was he was trying to download all the patents so anybody could get to them instead of them being hidden. Is China really stealing our patents, or they just have full access to them? So in other words, we always talk about, oh, right now, you know, they're making something and they stole the proprietary rights to it. Is that true, or do they just have full access to it without even having to steal?
We have access. They don't.
When people do make things and they patent them, does it give any other country free right to go in there and look and see what...
Patents don't do anything. The only reason you have a patent is if you're willing to fight for it, which is what you have to do anyway. The only reason, the only point is to don't give it all. If you ever give it all, you're lost. But then a generic is soon coming. So just...
Okay, I see what you're saying. And that's why you've always said to trademark so much. It's because then it belongs to you, right?
Try it again.
I said that is why you said to trademark. You always say trademark. I always heard you say that.
That's a start, but that's something you have to fight for, too. It doesn't matter. After a little while, sooner or later, it comes up to the real simple thing. The simple thing is somebody goes against you, you ask them, are they a god? And if they're not, you smote them off the fucking face of the earth and call it a day. It's real easy.
Hey, can I ask you real quick, last month...
You just did.
Okay.
But we're not so sure about quick.
Quick, Q-U-I-C-K? I mean, C-K.
we almost got you there. We were coming, though. We were coming. You know, we were on it like a bad habit, like a dark horse.
I think you already answered my question. That's okay. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I understand that you're good, but are you good at it? That's the question.
Not yet. I'm working on it.
Esmeralda.
Esmeralda?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Bob.
You're so wonderful.